Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am Belinda Ellsworth. I'm going to be your host today, and I have Callie Rogers with me. Callie is the founder and janitor of Blush Online Life Coaching. She and her team of master's-level coaches help females from around the globe get over their quarter-life crisis, grow their self-confidence, get over nasty breakups, and work on bettering their relationships, all via video conferencing for only $79 a month. It is my pleasure to welcome Callie to our show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Great. Well, Callie, just take a minute and let's fill in this journey. Let's fill in the bio a bit. Tell us a little bit about the journey and kind of how you got where you are today, and then a little bit more about your business.
Sure. So let's start with, I got my master's in counseling in Dallas and was on the way to licensure as a traditional LPC, which is a licensed professional counselor in Texas. And lots of things kind of happened between then and Blush. One, trying out private practice. I actually basically got fired from the job because I was having to like pay this woman for supervision and she wouldn't give me enough clients to even like make any money. Like I was literally paying her to work. So that didn't work out. And I tried a string of things to kind of keep myself afloat and figure out exactly what I wanted to do. And I ended up moving to Austin and figuring out, you know what, I'm going to continue to move. I'm going to continue to kind of figure out what it is that I want to do. And maybe being stuck within this umbrella of a license and not being able to transport my business from state to state isn't the best idea. So I ended up putting Blush, my brainchild, online, which was, one, it was great for me, but it was also great, I think, for clients because, you know, millennials move so often and they don't want to, you know, they have to continue to get new doctors, new dentists, new everything every time they move. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if they didn't have to get a new coach or counselor every time they move, because that's one that's really, really, really tough to start over again. Therapy and coaching is not something that you want to just have this quick turnover with. You really want to create a strong relationship with someone over months and years. So there was a lot that went into, you know, why Blush and why having it online. But that was the real kicker, was this location-based conundrum. And I ended up moving out to LA. I'm in West Hollywood. So the business has, you know, followed me, but there's coaches all over the country. And we have clients from all over the world. So it's really fun not having location be an issue and just having, you know, everyone be able to get help from no matter where they are.
That's great. And I do think that is, like you said, I had never really given it a lot of thought, but with people moving a lot, and I know a lot of people will take the gal that I have that does some of my online marketing, she and her husband will just go, they're in Costa Rica right now, and they'll just go for 4 months or 6 months, and then they might go stay somewhere else. And if you have, like you said, a coach or even a counselor, that's something that you want to be connected with and you want to create that longevity with, and that because they know you and they know the situation. So I hadn't really given that a lot of thought, but I'm sure that is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point in my life, I always say, like, why do we have our actual physical addresses on our driver's license? Like, at this point, we just need to have our email addresses because people pack up and move so often, whether it's, you know, to apartment within the same city, or just like, you know, your friends who move across the country or across the world at a moment's notice because they can. And so much of what the internet has provided us with is flexibility. And that's 100% why my business has been able to grow and, you know, become reasonably successful, is because it's accessible. And that's really what we play into, is making it affordable and making it, you know, convenient for this generation that tends to move all the time. And honestly, just every individual, you know, no matter the age, it's so easy to pick up and leave and go wherever, because you're always going to be connected. So yeah, that was that was really the driving force behind it. Of course, there are, I mean, this story is so multifaceted. There's a million reasons, I'm sure, why I ended up, you know, following this path. But I think that's the easiest one, the stickiest one, at least.
Sure. So tell us a little bit more about this quarter-life crisis. And what is it that young people are facing today?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a lot of theories behind the quarter life crisis and what creates it. And I feel like every person's going to have their own unique story. But essentially what it is it's these kids and young adults who are graduating mostly college, sometimes high school, but it's usually hits around like 22 to like at the tail end 27. And it's essentially when it's just this big freak out. Right? It's this freak out of, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I feel stuck. I feel hopeless. I feel like the way that I feel is going to continue forever. And I don't know what to do about it. And they start spiraling, or they start, you know, making really rash decisions, or they don't do anything and they just kind of sit still and let their life continue to pass them by. So there's a lot of ways that people react to it. But overwhelmingly, it really stems from the fact that high school and college gave them this really gorgeous formula to follow. So they knew what classes they were taking because they had some little degree map that told them what classes they should take. And they knew what they should study for because a rubric was given about, or like a test guide study, whatever. They knew how well they performed because they received grades. So it was really easy to measure their success. It was really easy to know what their next step was. Everything was just kind of laid out for them. And then, you know, you graduate and you know, what's next? There's really, no one's giving you a study guide. No one's telling you what to do next. No one, and it's really tough to monitor how well you're doing. So people turn to social media and they see the highlights and the best ofs from everyone else and then just absolutely implode upon themselves. So that is typically what I see happen. And of course, there's, you know, some anxiety that comes with it. There's definitely like depression, like symptoms that come with it. So it's not a light thing. It's a very real thing. And I think it hits more people than we realize. So that was the main issue that Blush wanted to tackle from the beginning, because I just felt like it was really important to address this and to let people know, like, it's real, but you're going to get through it. And here's how.
Wow. Great. So then how's the business shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I, in lots of ways, one, as we touched upon earlier, just the flexibility, allowing myself to move from Texas, which is where my entire life was, to go to California and not even skip a beat with Blush. It's not like I had to put my life on hold or my career on hold. We didn't even miss like a little salary, you know, week or so. So that was the first and foremost amazing. But I mean, I work from home. I really always have. I've got my little home office. I don't wake up at the crack of dawn. And especially in LA, I don't get stuck in traffic, which is huge and probably why I'm able to really enjoy the city. Whereas a lot of other people are like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I don't like it here. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't either if I were stuck in a car for, you know, an hour or so a day, maybe more. So there's that. But then, you know, I also get to talk with people about their stories. And I live in a city of professional storytellers. That's really what Los Angeles is. It's a bunch of people coming together to create content for the rest of the country and the rest of the world. And that's what people talk about on, you know, before work, after work, on weekends. We talk about, what are you watching? You know, what are you consuming right now? And I consider myself a professional story listener. I don't tell stories. I listen to them. And I love that. I wake up every morning and read Carolyn Hax's column in the Washington Post. And it's just, you know, it's an advice column. It's people writing in about their problems. And I've seen that I love her responses. I think they're great. But what I'm really interested in is the story, is the problem, and how would I tackle it? And does my response measure up with what she said? And sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. So that's what I get to do on a daily basis, is just listen to people's challenges and then brainstorm ways to, you know, get out of it and to make sure that they have a good and healthy solution. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes my solutions aren't the right ones and we have to try again, but a lot of times it sticks. And so it's really rewarding to watch.
Great. So what would you say two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you be successful in owning your own business?
Yeah. So I would say one, efficiency. My husband likes to say that I am efficient with one F, which I think is really, really funny. But the thing about it is that when you're not being paid from, when you're not being paid on like an hourly rate, right? Like you're not, and you're not really on salary either. It's just one of those things where I'm not being rewarded for working more, if that makes sense. So like, I just have to work as much as I need in order to get whatever I'm getting done. And then I can do whatever I want for the rest of the day. And I think that's a really, really important thing, you know, to realize is that being efficient, I can actually be rewarded for that in this lifestyle, which I think is pretty amazing. And I really, really like that. I also think that hiring, like learning how to delegate. So I was one of those people that just like took everything on myself. And when you start your own business, you have to do that. Like you really, you don't have the funds or maybe you don't even have the knowledge or whatever it is to just like do, like to hire everyone out. So I did everything. And I mean everything. And that's why in my bio, I say I'm the janitor of blush because I am like, I was everything. And to a certain extent, I still am. But I've learned how to let go of some responsibilities. And I've hired Shaunice, who is my blush go-to girl. Some people would call her a virtual assistant, but I feel like she's just like more than that. She's brings her own touch and her own feel to blush. And she's helped me a lot get out of that, just like the nitty gritty stuff that a lot of entrepreneurs have to deal with. And I realized that it wasn't making me happy. It was, you know, things go wrong with tech. Not everyone is always over the moon pleased with blush, and we have to find a way to make sure that they're still happy. And doing that on a daily basis, it wasn't as fun. I wasn't getting to do what I wanted to do. So she was amazing. And then I also hired Brittany, who's my publicist, and she's incredible. And she, you know, exposes the amazing work that Blush does because I'm not a salesperson. I'm a counselor. That's what I am. I'm not a salesperson. I've never been one. I'm never going to be one. And so learning how to lean on other people and trust their expertise, I think has been something that not only did I, maybe I had before I started Blush, but if I didn't, I definitely created it during, you know, building it. So I think those two things are definitely, and of course, you know, just being a coach, getting my master's degree, knowing my own trade so that I could build a business around that, I think was super helpful as well.
Absolutely. I think delegation is huge. And I think there's delegation, but there's also recognition of I'm not good at this, or this isn't in my wheelhouse, so I need to find someone who is. And because people delegate, I see them delegate, but they don't really release it. And there, it's a really fine line of when I talk with people. And if you're really delegating, you're saying, I am entrusting you to take this job and make this job, do it the way you would do this job that is going to be the best. And because I don't have those skill sets, instead of trying to impress upon a person on how to do the job or micromanage the job when it's not in your wheelhouse to begin with. So I think there's a little bit of difference in just delegating, but like actually releasing it to the person to really own it. And when you allow somebody to own that job, they will shine so much more. They'll bring so much more to the table that of ideas that you might not have ever had, or more efficient ways of doing something that you would not have considered because it's not your wheelhouse. So that is one of the things I've discovered over the years for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Great. So what are, let's talk first about something, one of your achievements that you're super proud of or that has been really just outstanding for you.
Yeah. So to give some context, when I started Blush, I really didn't know what I was doing. And I kind of touched upon like not really knowing how to promote myself. And Brittany handles that for me now, and she's incredible at it. But in the beginning, I didn't know Brittany, and I probably couldn't have afforded her anyway. So I decided that, or I didn't even decide really. I just sat down and thought, I guess other people have a blog. Maybe I'll blog. I guess that's what other people do to promote their stuff. So I'll do that too. So I sat down and started writing, and I really fell in love with writing almost as much as I was in love with coaching. So I really discovered this outlet that helped me gather my own thoughts about what I was doing, but it also helped, you know, give a taste of what kind of coaching we offer on Blush. So it was free advertisement. And over the years, I continued to blog regularly, and I had a lot of articles. I had some that went viral, and that was really amazing. And I was syndicated on all these different outlets. And so eventually, I was approached to write a book based on my compilation of blogs. And they were like, you know, your content that you have is great. If you could just edit it, maybe write a few more, kind of package it together and see what you come up with. Like, we would love to publish it. And so that's exactly what I did. I went back and I kind of looked at my greatest hits and I filled in the dots and I crafted this book about, you know, my theory behind getting over the quarter life crisis. And it's pretty amazing. At the time, I was kind of like, oh, this is cool. It's just another project, whatever. It's not like I'm writing it from scratch. It's not that hard. And then it was released, and I was like, you know what? This is kind of cool.
Absolutely.
I don't know why I haven't made this a bigger deal than it is. And I still, to this day, will get random Facebook messages or text messages or DMs on Instagram that's like, hey, I had a really go of a day and it wasn't, you know, I didn't really handle it well. And so I went home and read, you know, this particular page in this chapter of your book, and it really turned my mental energy around. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm just like, my jaw hits the ground. I'm like, me, you didn't, like, Oprah is on the earth, like, right now. Why wouldn't you go read something that Oprah did, but you decided to read my book, which is like crazy. So I think that will always be one of my most favorite accomplishments, because, you know, it's the most affordable way to have access to my thoughts. And I can't believe people pay for it. I still can't believe it. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Writing a book is pretty special. So what's the name of your book?
Conquering Your Quarter Life Crisis: How to Get Your Shit Together in Your 20s. So it does have a cuss word in it, which I did on purpose to kind of give you the tone of the book. If you're not into some edgy phrasing, it might not be for you. And of course, I put in your 20s because I thought from an SEO perspective, it was smart to like niche down. And I'm realizing that a lot of people in their 30s and 40s and 50s related to it as well. So it's good to know. But, you know, I definitely market it towards a certain age.
Oh, that's great. So the opposite of that then is, what about a challenge or crisis that you faced, and then how did you work through it?
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, there's daily challenges with Blush, like, consistently. I mean, one is our branding was off for a few years, if you can believe that. When I originally started Blush, I was marketing towards teens, and the 20 somethings came flocking, and I was like, oh crap. So the website was really young, but I couldn't, it cost a lot of money for me to be able to brand it in the first place. So ditching that was just out of the question. I did recently rebrand. So we're back, you know, to, attracting our target audience, but that was something that I just had to sit with, and I just had to figure out ways to make it look older without totally breaking the bank, and eventually doing some research and finding a company that I could afford and that really did match with what I wanted. So that was one challenge. Another one was an absolute nightmare, and it haunted me for months. And this is kind of a technical story, but essentially what happened was our third-party payment provider. So some people use PayPal and some people use Stripe. Some people use Square. I don't know. So we use Stripe. And essentially what happened is someone created, like, opened an account with Stripe and registered it as joinblush.com. And they didn't catch it because we're registered as Blush Online Life Coaching. And so then this individual had stolen credit card information, and then they were charging those credit cards to their Stripe account so they could get the money. But on their credit card statement, it would show up as joinblush.com. So people were Googling us, getting our contact information. And I mean, we just got so many angry calls and emails, and I had no idea what they were talking about. Because of course, the charges that they were getting were like random numbers. It wasn't like 79, 149, 249, which of course is our pricing. So immediately I knew it wasn't us, because it was like, we don't even offer that price point. And I mean, you can only imagine how much of a nightmare this was trying to figure out. They're like, well, we want our money back. And I was like, I literally don't have your money. I'm not going to just give you money. So like, I don't know how to fix this. So finally, I ended up talking to a bank. Like, I had gone through so many ends. Like, one, I had to talk to these angry people who, like, some people, like, couldn't pay their mortgage that month. I mean, it was awful. Awful, awful, awful talking to these people. And then I finally realized, well, did you have any other phony charges? And they were like, yeah, I have one from like Target. Target was a common one. And they're like, I don't shop at Target. And I was like, one, you should shop at Target because it's awesome. Two, uh-oh. Okay, so this is not just us. There's another issue at hand. So I ended up talking to a bank, figuring it out, talked to Stripe. They shut down the other account, but like, ugh. And it's awful because every time I get like a call from an unknown number, there's still a little hint of anxiety that someone's going to be on the other end of the phone, like yelling at me, and there's nothing I can do about it. So my advice in that situation is, one, just to breathe, but two, to get on it, like figure it out, knock down doors, call who you need to call, take the time to get to the bottom of it, because these things happen all the time in business. And there are some really, really bad apples out there who find ways to take advantage of people and blame it on others. I hope this never happens to us again, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a common scam. So that's my advice to other business owners. That happened to me. It might be happening to you. So just be aware.
It is really difficult. This happened to us a long time ago. So I've had the business now almost 25 years. So lots of has changed, of course, in 25 years, and things are done a lot differently, but it still just goes to show you, there was this company out there, and they took on the name of our company, but they were getting magazine subscriptions, so people were signing up for magazine subscriptions, and then paying for it, and then never getting their magazine, and then they were calling us to get it fulfilled. And so we, at the time, were selling. We published our own magazine at the time. It was a success magazine. But these were like people were selling subscriptions, like fake subscriptions to like Women's Day. And like, you know, and people were asking us to fulfill. And we're like, we don't have your money. We did not get the subscription. And it took us forever to get those people figured out. I mean, like, and no one really wanted to investigate it. So it was just us having just this nightmare of people calling us angry every day. I had to do my own investigative work to figure out, you know, where these people were from, who was doing it. It was like terrible. Yeah. It was terrible. Yeah.
It's awful. But the thing about it is like, it would have been so much easier for me to just like, I don't know, crawl in a hole and hope it went away. Of course, it wouldn't have gone away because this was like a brilliant scam. But instead, I would talk to these people. And like, sounds crazy, but I really didn't want to answer the phone. I didn't want to talk to them. I did, because I knew what was going to happen. I knew I was just going to be beaten up. But honestly, it was worth just like facing the music and then getting them to calm down through my counseling skills, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's so hard. I can't imagine. I'll try and help you in whatever way I can, but there's nothing to refund. What happened? How did you get this number? Why did you call us? Walk me through this. And then they could actually like calm down and be like, okay, well, I have these charges. Okay, how much are they for? Where are they from? What are the ones right before and why and right after joinblush.com? And so then I went and I changed everything on our Stripe account to make sure that it was like very a unique description so that if I ever saw something amiss again, I would know. But oh my goodness. I mean, I you couldn't pay me to go back in time over there.
Yeah.
But it's just that and that, but like, just like what you said, there's no one out there who's going to investigate this for you. So you just have to do it yourself and try to have the best attitude and, you know, empathy possible to handle it. And eventually you're going to work it out.
Yep. Absolutely. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
So I thought about this a lot, and it's something that I started thinking about probably when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And I always found that I loved helping others in a way that also made me happy. And I constantly, because people would come into me like, oh, why are you studying counseling? Or why do you want to go into that? You know, is it just because you're so selfless, or is it, or how could you deal with listening to these people's stories all day? So it was either like a very like, oh my gosh, you're Mother Teresa response, or it was a like, hey, yeah, you know, that's so gross. And I didn't resonate with either of those. And I thought like, I don't want people to think I'm going into this because I'm so selfless, because I'm really not. Talking to other people and hearing their stories, again, it fuels me. That's what I love to do. Like I said, I like to be considered, you know, a professional story listener. So that's like, I think, really getting into flow. That's the intersection there, is when you're helping others, that in turn really helps you, because helping others doesn't always feel good. There are a lot of things that I have to do to help others that I'm like, oh, this sucks. And afterwards I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that again. But giving others advice and guidance and listening and brainstorming really does make me feel awesome. And so in turn, if I feel awesome, I'm going to give even more, you know, energy towards the issue, and I'm going to care even more. I'm going to be more engaged, so they get more out of it. So this really positive cycle that just keeps giving and giving. And to me, that's what working from my happy place is.
Great. So what advice would you give to others that want to be entrepreneurs, that want to sort of pave their own way?
Oh my gosh, I probably have a laundry list, but something that really got into my head that I wish I hadn't focused on so much would be timelines. I constantly felt that I had to meet a certain deadline in order to become successful. So if I hadn't gotten to a certain place by 6 months, or if I hadn't gotten to a certain place or a certain number by a year, then it was hopeless. And that's just really not the case at all. It takes so much time to scale, so much time. You might get your first client right off the bat, and it might be months before you get your second. And that doesn't mean that something's wrong. Not every time, you know, something isn't working doesn't mean that you need to fix everything. And granted, of course, it's good to troubleshoot. It's good to get feedback. It's good to target in on those things that aren't working. For example, Blush didn't totally take off, you know, like it could have, until we got the right branding. And that's a problem that I knew. But at the same time, there are other things that, like, there's nothing I could have done. It's just a time thing, and you just have to give it time, and you have to learn, and you have to grow with your business. So abandoning timelines, I think, is a really smart thing, because it's just going to make the process a lot more enjoyable.
I think that's wise, wise advice. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, because one of the last interviews that I just did, that's kind of what her advice was too, but in just a little bit different roundabout way. But she said the same thing. People are too quick to abandon their dream or their goals because it doesn't happen in a flash. Mm-hmm. And that you really have to give it time, you know, to sort of nurture it and really work it. You know, it's just not going to be an overnight success. And I think that we see this, and you could speak to this, you're certainly of that generation, but we see this among younger people probably more than anybody, is if it doesn't work out in a day or two, or if it doesn't work out in a week or 2 weeks, you know, even in the direct selling space, which I do a lot of work in, it used to be that people would give something, you know, 3 months or 6 months, which wasn't even really a lot of time, but that would be what they would give it. And we see people giving this like 5 days. I talked to two people, and you know what? It isn't going to work out like I thought it was going to work out. And so where does all this come from, of this, I'm just really eager to abandon everything I thought I was, my excitement, my goal, my dream, my hope, my, you know, just because something's not working out in this instant gratification?
Yeah. I think it's probably one of two things. It's one, is they are used to having everything on demand. I mean, you no longer have to like wait to go to the movie theater to see a new movie. Half the time it's already dropped on Netflix or it's on Amazon Prime. And so you can like sit in your pajamas and watch it there. With dating, I mean, you want a date, you get on your phone. So really anything that I think, you know, older generations, or even, you know, me when I was younger, that you wanted and that you would have to be patient for, you can now get almost like simultaneously. So that's probably part of it. It's okay. Just this instant gratification generation. I think the other part of it too is that there's so many opportunities now. I mean, beforehand, you know, when my parents were growing up, they would say that, you know, the big things that you could be would be, you know, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, you know, a dentist. And it was just like, you kind of had these very traditional choices to go after. And of course, everyone's career ended up evolving. But like, it wasn't like it is now, where you can pretty much turn anything you want into a business and put it online and see what happens. Like, the opportunities are just endless. So I think we have a paradox of choice issue where people will look and be like, oh, I'm going to do that. And then the second they get pushed back, they're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter because I could go do that.
Okay.
And so they're just constantly going around. It's like career ADD.
I'm guessing you're right on that. So there is lots more choices today than there ever has been. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on, and what do you think our listeners could benefit from? And then, of course, I want you to close with how can our listeners find you?
Yeah, of course. So like I kind of mentioned, we just wrapped up with this big rebrand. So now that we're up and we're fancier and we're better, I'm trying to work through on just improving the site in general. There are some things that I've been wanting to do for a while that just makes the user experience better. So while I think some clients might not pick up on it as much, it's going to make me feel good. So that's what I'm really, really excited about. We're probably going to be adding new coaches next year, which is also fun. I love bringing new people to our sphere. So that's really what you can look out for. And then in terms of being able to find us, you can find us at joinblush.com. And we are at joinblush for Twitter and for Instagram, and then, you know, Join Blush for Pinterest as well. So those are all the places that you can find us. And then if you wanted to buy the book, you can check it out. It's on Amazon. And if you type in Conquering Your Quarter Life Crisis, you will see a pink book with me on it with a very funny face. So you'll know that's the right one. And yeah, so come by. We'd love to chat. If anyone has any questions, you know, my email is just Callie, K-A-L-I, at joinblush.com, and I'm pretty much always around.
Great. Well, Callie, thank you so much for your time today and for enlightening us and just sharing your tidbits of wisdom.
Yes, thank you. It was so much fun.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.